from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, back on Payne and Pendergast. Adam Spillane in for Sean Seth this year. Don't worry, Sean will be back for the pregame show. Texas yeah. and Bears, which, what time's pregame today? What time are you guys going
pregame on? Starts at 4. So Sean will be doing the pregame with me and the postgame with Clint. So our boss, Parker, decided to give him a reprieve this morning so he wouldn't do 4 shows in, 28 hours? He's gonna give him a little break.
I think he would have been on the air for like 16 of 28 hours, which seems like a lot. So probably good to give him a little bit of time. Give him 4
hours The tough thing is the postgame show, you know, going to like 1 in the morning or so, and then he's got to turn around to do the 6 a.m. show. I'll pick it up by being extra stupid and hyper and goofy on Friday morning, hopefully after a glorious Texans preseason victory.
The sharps are on the Texans. We were talking about the degenerates earlier. The line opened at Bears -1.5. It has moved to Texans -1.5,
ooh,
in case you're interested.
So that's respect right there.
Yeah. Now, part of that might be because the Bears aren't going to play any of their starters. Now, I don't think the Texans will either, but I guess if you're looking at the quarterback matchup, who's better, Tyson Bagent or Davis Mills? I guess the bettors out there believe that it's that Davis Mills is the better of the two quarterbacks.
Right. So if you can beat Tyson Bagent, you can beat Pat Mahomes any day. I'll feel super confident about Davis Mills after this game. I do. I am anticipating like a much more efficient version of Davis Mills. Perhaps I think his second year in the system, even though he's been. Really impressive at times out there at practice, but he's also been erratic on some of the simple throws that's a cause for concern. But I got to see him with an actual offense around him, playing tackle football, and then maybe going against some lesser backup defensive backs.
I feel like, and you've been out there more, so you can answer this a little bit better, but I feel like most of the turnovers that has been committed by the offense have been committed by Davis Mills. Is that accurate?
I think that's probably fair. I don't, you know, as of the last week or so, CJ's thrown some interceptions, and I'm not sure. Like, I don't know if I would count them as interceptions all the time because, frankly, he would have been sacked a lot. And, so that's a whole other topic of conversation, is just this offensive line and where they are right now. So I think there's times where he's said, like, all right, it's a sack, I'm just going to throw it anyway, and he's thrown some riskier balls than he would in a game. And I'm cool with that because he's not at a point in his career where he needs to be worried about how it's going to look, how it's going to look to the coaches if he throws an interception. It's good to experiment with some of this stuff right now.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers always said that he did not care about interceptions in practice during training camp because you want to be able to see what you can get away with, and you want to
yeah, especially with your rookies.
Yes,
I remember Marcus Mariota. They were making a huge deal out of him his rookie year because he hadn't thrown an interception yet, and a lot of former NFL quarterbacks are like, I'm not so sure that's a good thing. That sounds like he might be a little bit what he'll eventually become, which is a guy who's scared of his own shadow. That he's too conservative, he's too scared, he's not making the tough throws.
So the moral of the story is the more interceptions you throw during training camp, the better you're going to be.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Remember when Davis Mills threw like 4 interceptions in a practice his rookie year? And that became a huge debate point whether we should care about it or not. Sometimes it's a sign that your quarterback's not that good. And sometimes it's a sign that the guy's just testing the boundaries and taking chances and learning from his mistakes.
I don't remember that. I just remember Jeff Driskel like breaking a television camera.
Well, Okay, Davis Mills is not at Jeff Driskel level. Jeff Driskel, when we were out there and we were wondering, like, how are they going to keep up with the charade? It was, you could, You could, with almost 97% accuracy, without watching who threw the football, know that it was a Driscoll throw. Because you'd be like, what the hell was that? Oh, okay, Driscoll threw it. You know, because you might, sometimes you want to zero in and you're watching a receiver versus a defensive back, and you're not even paying attention to who the quarterback is. You could tell which ones the Jeff Driscoll throws were.
Those were some disgusting. Good memories right there.
Yeah, those were the bring dark days, my friends. Yeah.
All right, Texans and Bears tonight from Canton Hall of Fame game. First of four preseason games for the Texans. And, of course, you can hear it right here on Sports Radio 610. Astros ended a three-game losing skid last night. They beat the Pirates 5-4. It was Mauricio Dubon coming up big when the Astros needed him most.
Dubon drives one deep to left field. He settled that pitch, and he gives the Astros the lead. 5-4 Astros. Doobie off the bench with a pinch hit. Huge home run.
It was a fun little chess match between Joe Espada and Derek Shelton, the Pirates manager. They used Dubon as a pinch hitter. The Pirates go back to their bullpen. They had a lefty in there. They brought in the righty, Colin Holderman, who's been really good for them this season. And Dubon homered on the very first pitch of the game, but he was not trying to hit. He was not trying to hit the ball out of the park.
I got to the big leagues hitting everybody, so it didn't matter for me. It was just, you know, just going there and, like I said, trying to make something happen. I was not trying to hit a home run. I was not trying to hit a home run. You know, trying to get a base for the guys and ended up catching.
I thought that last night...
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Yeah. Aside from O'Neal Cruz, the shortstop, being the MVP overall because he had two really bad errors that allowed the Astros to get back into the game, Framber's showing some of that mental toughness that he has now that he never had early in his career. Last night was, you know, as he's dealing with an umpire who is erratic as hell at home plate. He got shelled in the second inning. Got nailed with a pitch clock violation that was dubious and reined it all in and ended up giving a good performance. And then Espada and some of his in-game decisions, small ball, all of that. I feel way better about him now than I did in the first 2 months of the season. I think once they got rid of Abreu and they could start freeing guys up to use different pinch hitters and everything, it just had more options. I feel good about it. I feel a lot better about Espada than I did before.
We'll talk about this in the next segment, but Espada is doing some things. Like, there are some clear differences between Joe Espada and Dusty Baker, and we'll get to those a little bit later. On the pitch clock violation, it was a violation for a quick pitch.
Yeah.
And I think the Astros thought that Framber should have gotten a warning, because generally you get a warning, and then if you do it a second time, that's when they dock you for the ball. But that wasn't the case. And so the home plate umpire is Nestor Ceja.
He
threw out the Pirates hitting coach after the third pitch of the game. I know his brother. His brother might be the nicest person on the planet.
Ceja's brother?
Yes. His brother was a pitcher in the Rockies organization. Such a nice guy. Really nice
really?
Guy. Yeah. So I always am happy to see Nestor, because I know how nice of a guy Moises was.
Well, okay, but that doesn't help. And honestly, I think he hurt the Pirates in terms of strike calls and ball calls. I think he hurt the Pirates more than he hurt the Astros last night. I just don't. Although, I think one of the problems Framber had in the second inning was that he'd gotten his control, but he was just a little too. He was throwing strikes, like perfect strikes, and getting shelled because of it. That's the stuff that the adjustments the pitcher has to make when he can't trust the umpire get a little bit dicey. Even though he'd had the benefit of some bad calls that were called strikes for him.
Yeah, he was definitely in the zone a little too much. They ambushed him, but he did recover. And that's the big thing is that. You know, when you have an inning, when you blow up the way that he did in the second inning, you still have to be able to recover because you still have to get through the rest of your start. And he did that. He was able to get them through six, and they went to the bullpen with the lead. And, you know, it was not exactly easy, at least for Ryan Pressly. That was kind of a grinded out eighth inning for Pressly, but he was able to throw up a zero, and then Hader did the same.
I look at last night's victory in a very impressive come-from-behind fashion where Mauricio Dubon ends up being one of the heroes. I look at that as the spark of another good stretch where, if you think about the era of the Jim Crane / Jeff Bagwell GM, Jose Abreu and Rafael Montero were the two most horrendous signings. The fact that after they got rid of Abreu, the Astros went on a tear, and now the fact that after they DFA'd Montero, they kind of exorcised some of the demons. This has no actual basis in fact or anything like that. It gives me a good feeling that, okay, Dana Brown was able to convince Jim Crane to move on from your mistakes, and you can, however you feel about the trade for Kikuchi, they're a team that's got all their eyes, like they're looking towards the future now. They don't have to deal with any of those mistakes that they made a couple years ago.
And if you missed it, the Astros did DFA Rafael Montero before yesterday's game. However, they are hoping that when he clears waivers, he will accept an assignment back to AAA so that they can work on some stuff. So they're not fully ruling out that he can come back and contribute to the team, but they want him to go work on some stuff in AAA. But again, the option is his. Like, he can refuse a minor league assignment if he wants, and he can elect free agency. But according to Dana Brown and Joe Espada yesterday, Montero seemed receptive to the idea of going back to AAA. So we'll have to wait and see on that.
I think both with Montero and Abreu, it's not like they're jerks that are unaware of the issues or anything. And it's not Montero's fault that Jim Crane made him the fourth highest paid reliever in baseball when they gave him that contract. It's just that, man, they were bad contracts, more so than a reflection on anything Abreu or Montero themselves did. If I had found out that Abreu was just like playing video games in the clubhouse all day or something and was a jerk to his teammates, then I could have gotten mad at Abreu. If I found out that Montero was like mean to little old ladies, then I could be mad at Montero. It's just the news alert is, GMs around the league are more secure in their jobs now because the Astros have helped teams realize, oh yeah, we definitely need a GM. We, at the very least, we need a GM.
Our baseball talk is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Coming up next, the Astros introduced Yusei Kikuchi before last night's game. He will start for them on Friday against the Rays. Are we feeling different about that trade 48 hours later? That's next on Payne and Pendergast on Sports Radio 610.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.